Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible. Thank you. Afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in today. Hope you're having a great day. Well, here's my question for you today. Are you ready? Can you imagine what it would be like to have a fresh encounter with God? I want you just to imagine it for a moment. Maybe you're having your quiet time, or you're driving in your car and a song comes on, or you're sitting in church, or maybe you're at a park watching your child play, and God just moves in, moves on your heart. Imagine, can you, having a fresh encounter with God, and one that changes your life and the way that you see things from this day forward. Do you think that's possible? Well, my guest this hour is Chris Atkins, and he's going to help us understand how we can live an everyday life of worship and expectancy as we walk with God. We're going to unpack his book, The Isaiah Encounter, Living an Everyday Life of Worship. We're going to get him on in just a moment. A couple quick announcements first. A special welcome to those friends, new listeners of Faith Radio, tuning in on 1290 AM in Hartford, or 90.7 FM in the Twin Cities, or maybe 104.7 FM in Madison, and 93.1 FM in Waterloo, or maybe you're streaming online. We've got listeners from around the world listening in on our Faith Radio app. No matter where you're listening from, if you're brand new to the Faith Radio family, first of all, we shout out a big welcome to you. So glad to have you part of the family. Pray that you can tune in every day and find your soul strengthened and encouraged here. But also, we've got a welcome packet we'd love to get to you. You can sign up for free on our website for it, myfaithradio.com. But if that seems too tricky, just email me, susie@myfaithradio.com. And if you want to include your mailing address, we'll put your name in a drawing. And a couple days a week, we pull names and send books from our Faith Radio shelf as our way of saying thanks for listening and welcome to the family. So include a note there that you want the welcome packet. We'll make sure we get it to you. Also, want to make sure you tell your friends about our Faith Radio app. It's so accessible, so easy. It's free. You can download it at Google Play or the Apple App Store. Take us with you when you travel. You can catch podcasts after the live shows and even live stream Faith Radio at any time on that app. So check it out and tell your friends about it as well. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Chris Atkins is a worship leader, pastor, ministry consultant, and songwriter with a passion for helping individuals experience God's indwelling presence. Love that. In the Isaiah Encounter, he draws lessons for living a life of worship based on Isaiah's momentous face-to-face encounter with God. Dear Chris, you and I go a long way back, and we haven't chatted in quite a long time, so welcome to the program. Good to catch up with you.
It's good to be with you too, Susie.
Well, congratulations on a great new book.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your kind words.
Well, looking forward to unpacking it. Chris, we start every conversation, though, on the show talking scripture. And I'm wondering if you either have a life verse or just one you've been thinking about these days that you can share with us.
Oh, I sure do. I love God's word. And it's so hard because there's so much scripture that just I'm immersed in God's word. But the one that God has really poured in me lately is from Romans 12, 1 and 2. And Paul writes in the power of the Holy Spirit, he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, all that he's done for us, to offer your bodies, your whole being, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Don't be conformed any longer to the patterns, to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will." And if you just allow me, you know what I love about this is that's the essence of encountering God in worship, is we need to come to him just as we are and present ourselves to him as a living sacrifice. That means something in us needs to die. We need to present ourselves to him. And what I love is Paul says, that's your true and proper worship. And some translations actually use the word service. And I believe worship and service are two sides of the same coin. And what I love about this is that worship really requires a decision of our will. It's intentional, but it's also impossible for us to worship apart from God. So we need to surrender, submit ourselves to Him, and be receptive. And that's why I love what Paul says. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He doesn't say try harder to do it yourself, but we need to surrender ourselves to God, and then we'll be aligned with God and His kingdom will and His plan. So that verse has just been speaking to the depth of my being lately.
Wow, Chris. Well, this is exactly why we asked that question, because you've just given us, you know, a mini sermon, so to speak, and a meaty message to boot to really unpack and think about more. When you said something in us needs to die, you're so right. You know, we go from strength to strength. Would love for you just to speak to that person listening going, how do I know what needs to die? As I offer myself as a living sacrifice, is it up to me to figure out what needs to die? Do I wait on God to point out what needs to die?
You know, that's a great question. It's interesting. Last week I was leading worship for the Minnesota Association of Christian Counselors, and a person afterwards came up to me and said, how long have you been a worshiper? And I'd never heard that question before. I said, well, actually, all my life. The problem is that until I came to know Jesus Christ, I worshiped other things and myself. And so the first step I really ask people to do when they consider worshiping, even Bob Dylan wrote in a song, you got to worship something. You know, everyone is worshiping something. So the first question for that person is searching, I really believe, is to ask God to search our heart. And even Psalm 137, the psalm says, search my heart, O God, and show me anything that's offensive to you. I would encourage that person to get in a conversation, find a healthy church, someone you can talk to about what it means to let go of the false stuff that we've hung on to and worshiped in our past, in our life, and allow God to transform us, to change us in a free gift that He's offering to every one of us in the person of Jesus Christ. That, to me, is when real worship happens. Until then, the things that we call our worship, they're just stuff we do. It's just the trappings. We can only worship God when He empowers us by the presence of Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit alive in us. That's really the essence of this book, is helping people to get to that point. And it's an ongoing process, but it begins with that step of asking God to take us just as we are and come into the depth of our being, cleanse us and fill us with His presence so that our life will become new. Not by our own striving and doing, but by God's power, by His word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and by other believers, healthy people who can come around us and encourage and strengthen us in our journey.
Yeah. A couple of passages come to me as you're talking from Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. Lead me in your everlasting way. And the other one, I don't remember the reference, but cleanse me from hidden faults. Keep me back from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I'll be blameless before you. You know, I think so often we're afraid to pray those prayers because we imagine God up there with a big fist over His head. But I feel like that full surrender that you're talking about, and we just say, what in me, Lord, we can know that when he points something out, it's to call us up. I mean, His voice is always redemptive in our lives. Talk to that person maybe who's been afraid up till now of that kind of encounter with God, because sometimes we're singing a song, but our heart's in a totally different place, and our heart is even hiding because of the things we're hiding. But talk to that person, if you would.
Well, I just want to let you know, first of all, God's passion is that you would experience Him. Some of the things that we have called worship end up just being religious exercises. And believe me, there's nothing wrong with religion as long as God's presence is in it. But I just encourage you, if you're in that place today, I want you to think about God wanting you to know Him in an incredible new way. And part of that is letting go of some of the false agreements that we have taken on that we've accepted as truth but really are not true. God wants us to know the truth that will set us free. And He is wanting to have a relationship with you as the Father that you may or may not have ever experienced in your life, this perfect, loving God who wants you to know His presence and His power. He can take away that fear. And believe me, all of us come sometimes hiding. But God sees us anyhow. Even in Psalm 137, the psalmist says, where can I run from you, God? If I fly beyond heaven, you're there. If I go to the depths of the ocean, God already knows us. But you need to know His love is so passionate for you that he wants you to come into his presence so that you can experience him and let the power of his love and grace and presence cleanse you, give you a new start, and really begin you on a whole new trajectory for your life all the way into eternity. And really that begins by just asking God, coming just as you are, giving him a simple prayer. We all have come as broken people. In every one of our lives, we come as broken people, and God loves broken people because he loves to restore us and make us new again. So today, I just encourage you to take that step.
We're going to pause here and take a short break, talking to worship pastor, author, speaker Chris Atkins, title of his book, The Isaiah Encounter, Living an Everyday Life of Worship. When we come back, we're going to learn a little bit more about Isaiah, the context in which he was born, the experience with God that he had, and what we ourselves can learn from it. We've got 5 copies of Chris's book, The Isaiah Encounter. If you are in need of a fresh revelation of God, get in on the drawing this way. Just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Name, mailing address, don't forget that. And put Isaiah somewhere in that email so I know this is the book that you're vying for. 5 of you will draw names. 5 of you will get a copy of Chris's book in your mailbox within a week. Wouldn't that be great? More with Chris Atkins in a moment. So often what keeps us from worshiping God is we don't really believe that Jesus loves us, that he is for us, that if he stands for us, who can stand against us? We spend so much time thinking about what a disappointment we must be to God, and it keeps us from drawing near to God. But the Bible calls us to draw near with a bold and humble confidence and to be assured of his glad welcome, that he's glad to see us. Well, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to author, worship pastor, speaker Chris Atkins. His new book is titled The Isaiah Encounter, Living an Everyday Life of Worship. And Chris, let's start here. Give us some context in which Isaiah was born. What were the times like that Isaiah was born into?
Well, he lived in a time where, first of all, the king at his time, King Uzziah, started off well, but really in the middle of his reign, he started believing his own press and end up really giving in to the temptations, pride, arrogance, and really turned away from God. And because of that, his legacy as a king and the future of God's chosen people, they were forever scarred. The other thing is that Israel had really started kind of taken on some of the religions of the surrounding countries. They really had abandoned God. They started mixing in their own kind of religious thoughts, cultural practices, and really walked away from God. And this wasn't just some minor issue. They were really major things. In the middle of all of this, by the way, it does sound familiar, a nation that is struggling, rulers that are sometimes not even morally good. But in the middle of all of this, Isaiah has this amazing encounter with God. And by the way, with worship, the one thing is that we need to understand, we sometimes think we people are the ones who've created worship. I'm convinced that God has given us the gift of worship. And we need to start asking the question, why did God create this gift, this gem, this jewel that we call worship? With Isaiah, we see what happened is that all of a sudden he finds himself in God's heavenly throne room. And he's looking around and he sees God's presence is just filling this place. And in the middle of all that, he's hearing the mighty angels, the seraphim. And by the way, some translations translate the word seraphim into burning ones. These powerful angels, he's hearing them worshiping God. And they're saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." They're literally beside themselves. And their worship is so strong that literally the foundations of the temple are shaking. In the middle of all of this, Isaiah, he sees this going around, and he comes to this just awful realization that he's as good as dead. He says that, you know, I'm a filthy person, and I live in this culture, this nation of people that are unclean. And so at that moment, he really believed he deserved death. he really was expecting God to just lay him where he's at. I know for a lot of us in our life, we really believe that things that we've done in our life, our hearts, the state of our minds, we feel that we deserve only death from God. But then God does this amazing thing. At that point, one of the powerful angels, the seraphim, actually goes to the altar of God and takes a hot coal. What's amazing, Susie, about this is that, you know, they actually, these flaming ones, one of them had to take a tong, a tool that God gave to them, in order to approach the holy altar of God. So this angel takes this tong and comes over to Isaiah. And Isaiah has a choice at that point. Do I open my mouth and let this angel touch my tongue with this hot coal from God's altar? At that point, Isaiah opens his mouth. And at that point, the angel says to him, "Behold, you are made clean." Isaiah had to surrender to God at that moment. And by the way, it's really a picture of what Jesus does for us. So we need to open ourselves to God, to the cleansing that God gives to us in the person of Jesus. And what's amazing, Susie, is at that point, as soon as that happens, Isaiah says this, "Then I heard the Lord." So up to that point, he's experiencing God's glory. He's hearing the other angels around worshiping. But when he is set free and cleansed by God, he hears God's voice.
That's so good.
I really am convinced that God invited Isaiah there. He loves Isaiah so much. He wants him to experience him. And then he does hear the Lord. And then Isaiah responds to what God says. And to me, that is a picture of what a life of worship is all about. I'm sorry, I don't mean to get so passionate, but for me, we need to get this as people, that God wants us to experience him. He wants to do a new work in us so that the whole of our life becomes given over to him. Worship isn't just something we do once a week. It becomes the heartbeat and the breath of our life. And that is my passion as a worship leader, is to help people to understand that. And when we do that, there's this amazing freedom and power that God gives to us. And we see change happen in us. And also God uses us to help other people. And that to me is the coolest part of worship, is when God opens the door for us to humbly help people wherever they're at and let them experience God and point people to him. That's really what the book is all about.
And first of all, you don't need to apologize for your passion. I would be sad if you didn't have passion when you're talking about something like this. So you just speak from your heart and your soul, Chris, and you just run, and I'll run and catch up with you if I need to. But I want you to feel free to go there again and again and share what God's given you. And this is what you write in the book. God's holiness and cleansing fire can't be manipulated or duplicated by people. It's important to understand that God is holy and cannot tolerate impure and arrogant attempts by people to get him to do things their way. I love this because this is part of what it means to have an encounter with God, as the cleansing fire. And in so many contexts, it seems we try to make God into our image. We manipulate our faith to match our life. We pick and choose scripture that accommodates what we want to do. But God really won't be had on those terms. I mean, God is who he says he is. And I feel like if we really are going to get the revival that we want, I mean, I hear Christians calling down judgment all the time. And Francis Frangipane said years ago, "You're calling down judgment on your city? Don't think for a moment some of that won't fall on you." And I feel like
that's
the call,
so true.
Yeah, is have mercy on us, O God. And let the revival start right here, you know, in me. I want you to just speak a little bit more to that, because I think it's really a profound observation that Isaiah didn't hear the Lord until he had his heart cleansed, you know, the pure in heart seek God. Speak to that piece, because, Chris, I feel like so often we go through the motions, and we can phone it in, we know the words to the song, but our hearts are somewhere else altogether. But to really experience the awe and the surrender and the wonder and all the things that you write about in this book, it's got to start with a heart before the Lord that is like, anything goes, you speak to me, what do you want to say to me? Speak to that, if you will.
Yeah, you're exactly right. To me, what's so important, even for me, when I lead worship, I honestly really have to come before the Lord on my face and to say, "God, I am not able to do this unless you fill me. So first and foremost, God, make me a worshiper. Do your work in me. Continue to do that good work that you've begun in me." It's a lifelong process. But so often we try to basically manipulate God. And when we do that, when we think of worship as trying to get God to do things our way, we're really worshiping ourselves. It's really false idol worship. And that's the thing that I really – all of us have been guilty of this, even sometimes as believers, that we can get into the trappings of trying to get God to see things our way. And don't get me wrong. God encourages us to bring the prayers, bring the requests and the passions and the grieving of our heart even to him, because he loves to hear that. But he, as you said, he cannot be manipulated. We need to come and allow God to let his will into us, to let his kingdom come in us first and foremost. And for me, that means walking away from some of the things that we've held on to in the past, some of the religious trappings that we've done. I have a chapter in the book called Wineskins, and sometimes we can worship the forms that we worship. And those can even be false idols unless the wine of God's presence is in that. So you're right, Susie. The first thing we need to do is before we look at other people, we need to humbly come before God and ask him, cleanse us, fill us with his presence, make us worshipers who are authentic, that it's in truth and in the Spirit of God, not in our own hearts, not in our own way, but that his Spirit literally leads us. As Romans 8 says, sometimes we don't even know how to pray, but the Spirit himself prays for us with groans that sometimes we can't even comprehend. There's a depth when God leads us into worship. And I just love it when I am leading worship, whether it's with a few people or a whole church or a whole auditorium or in different places in the world. What I live for in ministry is when I see people at the close of a service or in a service, all of a sudden, you know they're surrendering something to God. They're literally presenting to God the bondages they've been in. A couple weeks ago, a young man came up to me at the end of a time of worship, and he said to me, "Will you pray? I need to ask God to free me from the addiction that I've been struggling with for several years." And our lead pastor and I, we laid hands on him. We prayed over him. There was a freedom and a release that was coming. And believe me, that's just the beginning of this. But I really see this over and over again. When we are authentically worshiping God, that God's power is not just for us. It's not something that we just hold inside. But he wants to let it come through us like a river that flows into other people's lives so that we will all see his glory, that we will all behold how powerful and good and holy and loving and grace-filled is our God above all. And that, to me, is really what the heart of worship is all about. We need to pray for personal revival. We need to pray that God breathes his breath in us. And then after that, we pray for people we love. We pray for our nation, knowing that all of us have fallen short of God's glory. We need to be on our knees praying that God would do his work in the lives of people we love and in this entire world.
And can I get an amen? Talking to author, worship pastor, speaker Chris Atkins, title of his book, The Isaiah Encounter, Living an Everyday Life of Worship. We've got 5 copies. I'd love to have you enter your name for the drawing. Just email me, Susie with an S, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address and put Isaiah somewhere in that email so we know that this is the book you're looking for. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk more about how to engage our hearts, how to engage our minds, how to engage our whole lives in an act of worship because God is worthy. He's worth it. Don't go away. We'll be back in a moment. To Let That Play Out by Chris Tomlin. Oh, wow. You know, think about this. We have access to the inner throne room of the Most High God. What Jesus did on the cross, it tore the veil in two, gave us access. So is it any wonder that that devil baits us into a busyness that drains us? Because he wants to keep us from encounters that redeem us and restore us and heal us and refresh us. We have this time on earth and it's short, but we're here for Jesus. We're here for him. I challenge you to position yourself to clear your calendar if you need to, but open your Bible, open your hands, awaken your heart before the Lord. Tell him how great he is. Ask him to speak to you. He wants to do that. He wants to use you in ways that are totally disproportionate to who you are. This is the God we serve. The one who put the stars in place has a dream in his heart for you. Well, I'm so glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Chris Atkins today. He's a worship pastor, speaker, and author. The title of his book is The Isaiah Encounter, Living an Everyday Life of Worship. And he writes, then God let Isaiah in on a troubling secret. Just as Isaiah couldn't hear God's voice even after seeing his glory and hearing the mighty seraphim speak to each other, so the people to whom Isaiah would tell God's plans wouldn't be able to hear and see God no matter what Isaiah did. God told Isaiah in so many words, you have to be okay with this working arrangement. You simply do what I tell you and you let me take care of the rest. And you know, Chris, we struggle with that same kind of working arrangement today. But I feel like the sooner that we learn that the offerings come from us and the outcomes come from God, the better off we'll be. Love to know, just in your journey as a worship leader and a speaker and as a man who follows Jesus, how has God impressed that particular lesson on your heart over the years?
So often I believe that God calls us, like Isaiah, we need to be trusting God to go outside that which is sometimes comfortable or familiar. There have been many times when God has spurred me to go over and pray with someone. I'll tell you this one really quick story that just came to my mind right now. We live near a grocery store, and in the middle of the day, I realized I needed to get some groceries for lunch. So I went over there. I walked into that grocery store and went by one of these clearance racks. I don't know if you know, there are these tall racks, and there's a lot of clearance items. And in that clearance rack, I saw a chocolate bar. And not to weird anyone out, but I actually felt that God spoke to me and said, I want you to get that chocolate bar. So I thought, okay, well, maybe it's for my wife. And it was only $1, you know. So I put it in my cart, got the couple items. And then a few minutes later, I'm in the checkout line behind two women. One of them was really having a bad day, and her anger was kind of spilling out. In between her and me was an older woman who looked like she was in her mid-80s. Mm. And so, this woman, I could tell the older woman was really troubled, a little bit nervous about what was going on. But as this older woman checked out, I noticed she had like one of these dinner for one. It was very sparse amount of food that she had. And as she quickly checked out, I checked out my two or three items. And again, Susie, I felt God said to me, I would like you to give that candy bar to this older woman. And I felt a little bit awkward because I thought, what? You know. So anyhow, I said, I just went over to this woman. I said, excuse me, do you like chocolate? And she said, I love chocolate. And I said, you know, God bless you. This is my gift to you. And Susie, I'll never forget this, because this woman started tearing up and she said, today is my birthday.
Oh, my.
And, you know, the reason I tell that story is so often God puts us in front of people that we can, in little ways like that, and sometimes in bigger ways, they're ready for us to share, to first of all demonstrate God's love, but then also to be able to tell people the reason for our hope. And so for me, one of the things that God is impressing on me, because I'm not naturally an outgoing person, but God says, I need to have you trust me to do what I ask you to do, and then let me take care of the results. And Susie, this is an everyday thing. Honestly, every day God is showing me, you know, I want you to go and talk to this person. I could tell you story after story of times when God has asked us to do this. Sometimes it's to go over and literally ask a person, how are you doing? You know, and to literally said, can I pray with you? A person came to my wife and I, our house, a couple of months ago. And God was spurring me, can you ask her if she needs prayer? And so I just asked this young woman, I said, you know, how are you doing today? And she said, well, it's been kind of a rough day. She ended up sharing her story. And I said, would you mind if I just pray for you? And I could almost hear the words coming out of my mouth without my brain even engaging. I knew it was God. And this young woman just started pouring out what was going on in her life, that her fiancé died 2 months earlier. Mm. I mean, I can't make this stuff up. I mean, God knows what he's doing. Yeah. And what he's asking us to do is to be available. But we also need to come with his presence really in control of our emotions, our thoughts. It's all about yielding to him so that he can use us. And for me, that is as much worship as when we're gathered with other believers, lifting our hands or singing hymns or whatever we're doing. What we do in those moments when God calls us to go is so important to a life of worship. And that really is a big component of this book. So for me, that is the Isaiah encounter as well, where Isaiah had to say yes to God, and his life was filled with difficulties. It was not an easy life, but he never looked back. And what I love, the Isaiah encounter that I talk about in the book takes place in the sixth chapter of the book of Isaiah. There are 60 chapters after that. And so for me, it's amazing to see the life and the experiences and how this man, Isaiah, allowed God to minister to the people around him, even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of sometimes persecution. God is still sovereign. And I hope that for none of us we have to go through that, but I believe we live in a time when the rubber meets the road in our worship, when we are going out, going past what we're comfortable doing, showing the love of God, and then again, being prepared to give the reason for our hope, letting people know with humility, with love and grace, that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life that we can have.
Don't you feel, Chris, that I love the story, by the way, and share as many of those as you want, but because you are much with God in the secret place, I mean, you're a man who personally pursues him in your private personal life. You worship him, you know, privately as well as corporately. You give him access to your story and your character and your life. And because of that, there's a trusted relationship. So even though he asks you to go outside your comfort zone into some of these awkward situations, even if it's not like you to step out and talk to a woman in a grocery store, it's like him. And you love him, so you trust him and you do it anyway. It seems that that would be that's the adventure that he calls all of us to, but I think it would be trickier for the person who doesn't have an established, trusted relationship. I mean, all they have to do is start listening to the nudge and they'll start to see he's faithful. But maybe make a case for that if we really want to be used out there, there's something that has to happen in the privacy of our own life and the way that we walk with God.
Right. You're so right. We need to be consistent and authentic. You know, and again, this is about an everyday ongoing process of yielding every thought. You know, the Bible says that we take every thought captive to the Lord. You know, we demolish any of these false arguments. So for us, we need to keep our accounts, you know, short and clean, not only with the Lord, but with other people. I really do agree with what you're saying. Sometimes for us who are in ministry, it might seem that it's easier for us to share, but I sometimes believe that there's almost more credibility for a person who's not in ministry mm-hmm. to be able to share. And it's all about building relationships with other people. Again, as you've heard this expression before, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And for me, it's so important that we pour into people around us, that we demonstrate that we do care about them, that we are not any better than them, but we love them. And to me, I know people. I've led a Bible study for the last 15 years, and one of the people in that Bible study is a woman. Her name is Emily. Emily had cancer when she was 5 years old and just has had a really difficult life. In the last 5 years, she has literally been on the brink of death a couple of times, and God has brought her back from that. And she has a simple faith that just speaks to her family. And what I love, love, love is that we had an opportunity when the last time she was in the hospital, she was actually put into hospice. Mm. And they didn't think that she was going to make it. And I asked the family, do you mind if our Bible study just comes and prays over her? And they said, yes. And so several of us went over, and I just brought some oil, and I explained to the family, look, this is not hocus pocus, but God's word says to do this. And I just know that Emily would want us to do this. So we just gathered around her. She's not even conscious. And we just prayed over her. We anointed her with oil, as James says that we are to do. And a week later, I ended up going back, and her father was there. And I expected that, you know, we would be hearing the worst news. And he said to me, whatever you did, keep doing, because she woke up and she's eating food.
My goodness.
And Emily went from hospice to rehab, and now she's back with our Bible study. The cool part of the story is her mother is now in our Bible study.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that just amazing?
Yeah.
To me, that's worship. I mean, and to me, the fruit of worship is another life that comes to know Christ. Yeah. I mean, to me, that's what I just love when I see lives changed through worship. And again, it's not just in, you know, congregational and we worship as the body of Christ, but when I see it alive in people's lives, you do not need to be an ordained pastor. You just need to be a devoted, loving follower of Jesus Christ, who just is humbly following him, being immersed in his word, letting his spirit just rule and fill us, and then just going as he tells us to go and putting us in front of people. He's going to give us those opportunities. I don't know how it's going to come about for your listeners, but I do believe more and more in these times, God is going to give us the opportunities to share with others the truth of Jesus Christ.
And to really bring those prayers, to bring a listening ear, to bring the anointing oil, seriously, you know, to be ready in season and out to just to serve. I mean, even your posture of coming and just saying, we're just here and seeing what God would do, that humble approach in this vitriolic day is really what's going to win the day, I believe. And I love this. We've got one more break coming up in a couple minutes, but I'd love for you to comment on this. This just made me want to stand up in my office and shout. You wrote, the entire cosmos sings and dances in worship to God. God's creation points both to his beauty and his awesome, unequaled power. It cannot help but speak out with sights, sounds, smells, and texture to the one who spoke everything into being and holds everything together to this day and past whenever the end of the current cosmos comes. Say just a word about, because we get to be such earthbound travelers that we forget that the entire cosmos sings and dances to worship God. I mean, truly, this one who put the stars in place and put the mountains in their place takes personal delight in us. I mean, that in itself should create worship in us all day long, you know?
And, I just love that. You know, many years ago, I was just landing on some psalms, and I wrote a song called The Nature of You, and it really speaks to that. One of the things that I think is so amazing, you know, Jesus said to the Pharisees when they tried to tell him, you know, tell your followers to be quiet and stop singing out. And Jesus said, I tell you, even if they stop, the very rocks will cry out. And what's so cool, Susie, is that in the last couple of weeks, I've even seen on the internet that we are actually hearing the sounds of comets. I mean, there are like frequencies, wavelengths that are coming. So literally, the universe sings to God. I just think that is just so amazing. And so we do hear that, you know, that all of the universe is singing to God. And what I love is it points to God. The universe is not God, but it points to his handiwork. It's the fingerprints of God's presence. And, you know, the thing that I really believe, I think C.S. Lewis, and I'd have to paraphrase this, but he basically said that the universe is both beautiful and terrifying, and that we need to understand that God is both amazingly beautiful, but he also, we need to have this holy fear, because his power is what brought the universe into being. Literally, he's speaking the word. And so there needs to be the sense of both awe and wonder. And also, we need to remember, this is a God of all power. Mm. On the other side of the scale, there's this God who loves us so much that literally, he became Emmanuel, God in the flesh. And I just love the fact that we balance that in worship. That he's not just a God to be feared, but he's a God who loves us so much that he literally came to earth for each and every one of us. And so that balance of the scale to me is this, when that happens, I see it happen in our church and in other churches. When that kind of thing happens, it's almost like we defy gravity. And
indeed,
worship is just ascending. It's just this amazing sense of God's presence.
You know, I don't remember who wrote this and where I read it years ago, but the sense, one of the reasons that we've lost kind of the holy terror, the holy awe of God, is because we've lived in this nation in such a godless way, thumbing our noses at God, that even though, you know, he's omnipresent, he, you know, there is a manifest presence when he comes near. And all you have to do is look in Scripture. When he comes near, men are like as dead men. They go face down.
Right.
And
yeah,
those encounters are happening in third world countries where there is a reverence for God, where people are risking their lives to worship him. But one of the reasons we've maybe lost a sense of the presence is because, as a whole, we've lost a reverence before God. But all we would need to do personally is to do what you're saying here, is to humble ourselves and bow. He's no respecter of persons. We would start to experience that manifest presence, and then we would know that there is, I mean, we would go face down. And I truly think that holy terror would come back to us in the most amazing way. Well, I'm talking to Chris Atkins. When we come back, we're going to talk about awe, amazement, and gratitude in our worship. Do you ever catch yourself singing the songs in worship and services, but you're going through the grocery list in your mind because your heart's disconnected? We're going to talk about how to re-engage, reconnect, so that you can have a fresh encounter with God. Don't go away. More with Chris Atkins when we return. Kingdom come, thy will be done. Love that. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is of The Promise, talking to worship pastor, author, and speaker Chris Atkins. The title of his book is The Isaiah Encounter, Living an Everyday Life of Worship. And I love this line, Chris. As we approach God in worship, we come with no other agenda but awe, amazement, and gratefulness. And I was thinking about that as I was prepping for today's show. All of those things require a certain soul engagement. And you think of how many times we will sing songs, either on the radio or during a worship service, but awe, amazement, gratitude are nowhere to be found in our hearts. And it's easy to go through the motions. But this is what's amazing when you think about it. Nothing changes in the atmosphere when we're going through the motions. But something changes in the atmosphere when we engage our hearts and souls in a way that reflect awe, amazement, and gratitude. So I want you to speak, if you would, to that person who wants to recapture that sense of awe when they're worshiping and that sense of amazement and overwhelming gratitude for what they've been given in Christ. What say you?
Well, first and foremost, I really believe that only God can fill us with that. So again, I just go back to the prayer. God, teach me how to worship you. You know, the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. And I think that's such a great prayer. Lord, we cannot experience your awe unless you equip us, unless you show us. So it's a prayer that I pray every week when I lead worship and when I lead worship during the week. It's so important that we, first of all, recognize that God is the one who can lead us to that place. There are other things. I really believe when we gather as the body of Christ on a weekly basis or more, that's really the culmination of what happens in our life during that week. So one of the things that I really encourage people to do is to land on a psalm. Now, we talked about Psalm 139, Psalm 8. There's some great psalms that just rest on those. Let those sink into your being. And then pray those psalms on your own. Just, Lord, help me to just do what I can't do. Show me the depth of your greatness. And I really believe God loves to hear those prayers because he wants to reveal himself to us in a way that changes us from the inside out. So we have those times on our own, and then when we come on Sunday morning, I really believe it's important that we are at a place with other believers that worship is in spirit and in truth. It's authentic. It's real. I'm grateful for the people who were worship leaders in my life, Dan and Sandy Adler and others, amazing worship leaders. I had the privilege of serving with Dr. Bob Williams with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, a man who to me was like, it's almost like serving with the Apostle Paul and going to different places in the world and seeing how people worship. It's not just about what we do here in America and the ways that we worship, but to see that it's a real thing all over the world. So I just encourage people, be part of a healthy fellowship that understands that worship is the heartbeat of what we're all about. I remember reading an expression a long time ago that says the reason that we have missions is that we do not have full-out worshipers. To me, if we are full-out worshipers of the Lord, then our lives, we will become missionaries, whether it's in our home, in our neighborhoods, in our community, or in different places in the world. But I think it's so important for us as believers that we need to ask God in. And we, especially when we gather together, I know with our worship teams at our church that prayer is the heartbeat, not just a perfunctory exercise, but we come before the Lord before every time we worship and ask God, do what we cannot do. Inhabit our praises. Draw us close to you. Show us anything that's offensive. Help us, Lord, to lead your people. We want to be more and more invisible. We want people to see you and not us. And so for me, it becomes that heartbeat. And then when we're worshiping, whether we're in the congregation or the audience or whatever, at that point we ask God, Lord, help me to not be self-conscious, but to be only conscious of you. And we see so many pictures of that in the Bible. David, who danced before the Lord. You know, we see Mary, who anointed Jesus' feet. That was an act of worship, and I love it because that passage talks about the smell of the perfume filled the room. And talking earlier, we're talking about the way people react. Well, Judas reacted negatively. But Jesus said, I tell you, people are going to be reading and talking about this in times to come. And here we are talking about this today. Paul and Silas in prison, in the squalid prison, worshiping God around midnight. And what happened? Just like in Isaiah, there's an earthquake that happens. And what's amazing about their encounter was they were not self-conscious. They were conscious of God. And because of their faithfulness and allowing God to lead them to worship, that the jailer and his entire household came to know Christ that night. So for us, I really believe we need to see worship as a gift from God, but also something we have to intentionally and willfully say yes to God. We need to submit to God. We need to be receptive to his Holy Spirit showing us, leading us to worship, getting us apart and away from ourselves, and just going and doing what God asks us to do. And when that becomes the heartbeat of our life, I tell you, I love to see the lives that have been changed. I love the fact that I've seen people who have begun this journey, that their lives are blossoming, even as they have struggles in their life. God is doing amazing things in them. And to me, that's the fruit of a life that worships God.
And that's really the essence of your book, The Isaiah Encounter. I'm going to ask you to pray here in just a moment. But for those friends and listeners who didn't hear yesterday's show, my announcement with Dr. Troy, this now is my last live show before a month, a leave of absence for health reasons. You've been listening long enough, you know I've been battling some health issues. And just by doctor's orders, I need to get some rest. So in the next month, you're going to hear some replays. You're going to have Bill Arnold, my good friend, step in and sub on occasion. I ask for your patience. I ask for your prayers. Really ask for your prayers. I'm believing God's going to do a new thing and restore my soul and restore my health. I'm going to miss you so very much. I may call in a couple times. But just know that I love you to pieces. Love coming to work every single day. Hardest thing ever, but I have to do it. So, Chris, as we get ready to wrap, I'm wondering if you would pray for our listeners that they would, exactly as you're saying, they would encounter the living God in a way that forever changes them.
Lord, we thank you that you are not only our holy God, all-powerful, but also you love us all passionately. And Lord, you want us to encounter you so that we can be changed by you, so that our whole life reflects your glory. Lord, I pray for each and every person listening, Lord, that that reality would be new and fresh in their life. Lord, that they would just release anything to you that's been a hindrance to that. And Lord, I thank you for Susie. Lord, we lift her up to you. We love her. Lord, we know that you are her Abba, Father God, that nothing is too hard for you. We pray that you would give her rest and peace. And Lord, we pray for your healing on her. Lord, we thank you that you are restoring all of us who say yes to you. And Jesus, we praise you. You are our God. Holy Spirit, we love you. Come inhabit us. We are yours. Amen.
Amen. Chris, thank you for this time. I love your passion and your heart, and just love the conversation. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Susie. God bless you.
So good to be with you. Title of Chris's book again, The Isaiah Encounter, Living an Everyday Life of Worship. Wow, I loved this conversation today. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at My Faith Radio. radiomissionary.com, and we commission you to be a radio missionary. We've made these shows very shareable. With a click of a button, you can send out this conversation by Facebook, email, Twitter. If you know someone who needs a fresh encounter with the living God, share today's conversation with Chris. Do that with a friend or 10, huh? And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a blessed day.